Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
I've been doing carnivore for about 6 months, and it saved my life. It kept me from being on dialysis and coming back to life. I told my wife, it's like I was buried in the ground, and my finger was sticking up, and somebody finally saw it, and it kicked all the dirt off of me, and I came back. You know, what an amazing turnaround in such a short period of time.
I said, but Dr. Lewis, I don't want to make you mad, but I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I said, I'm doing exactly the opposite of what you told me to do. You told me to restrict my salt and restrict my meat, restrict my fluid, restrict this, restrict that. Guess what? I'm not restricting anything. I'm eating meat, you know, and eggs, and they spend all this money to get a doctor's degree, but they're not learning anything except how to write a prescription and give you a pill. And to think that all I had to do was change what I put in this mouth.
Hello and welcome. I'm Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, and blessed to welcome Scott to the channel. Welcome, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Carnivore.
Nice. I like it. I see your sign in the background too. Eat beef.
Yes. 100% beef. Yes.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I'm looking forward to hearing your story. Maybe if we could start out, could you tell us what sort of led you to eating this way?
Well, in 2023, I started having some health issues at the beginning of the year. And I noticed that I was gaining some weight, and it was unexpected, and I couldn't really pinpoint what was going on. And after 10 pounds, you know, I felt terrible. I couldn't eat much, and I started, like, swelling up in the stomach. So at about 20 pounds, I went to the first ER to see what was going on. And they'd run all these tests and they said, well, you just have high blood pressure. We don't see anything else. Okay, so I come home. Well, that wasn't the answer, you know, so I wait another week or so and I blew up another 10 to 15 pounds in that short period of time. So I went to another hospital, went in, they admitted me in and said, what do you want us to do? I said, find out what's wrong, you know. They said, okay, so we need to do a biopsy on your kidney. Sure, let's do it. So February of 23, they did a biopsy and they diagnosed me with FSGS, which is focal segmental I have to make sure I pronounce this right, glomerulosclerosis, which is scarring of the kidney, where one of the doctors explained it like a spaghetti strainer, you know, it has all the holes in it and, you know, normal amount of liquid coming out as you strain your spaghetti. Well, mine is just wide open. There's just one big hole. So everything was dumping out in my urine, protein, everything was going out of my urine. Even my cholesterol went crazy. Hyperlipidemia, my total cholesterol was 1,000. The triglycerides were like 490, you know, and they're trying, of course, they're trying to shove all these drugs down my throat, you know, statins and this and that and blah, 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 which, you know, I'd already heard about that stuff and what it does to deplete the cholesterol that your brain needs. So I wasn't on board with taking any of that. But they did give me steroids to start with because they said, you know, hey, there's no cure for what you have. You know, you're going to wind up on dialysis and need a kidney transplant. I'm like, great. That's not what I want to hear.
Right.
So I took 60 milligrams of steroids for probably 6 months, maybe. That just messed me up even worse. You know, couldn't sleep. Still couldn't eat. I'm still gaining fluid. Now I'm over 285 That's 35 pounds of fluid, and nobody's doing anything. So I go to another kidney doctor, nephrologist, and by the time I get to him, I'm at about 300 pounds, miserable. He fumbles through a bunch of paperwork, you know, and says, it's complicated. I said, do you think? But he never even physically examined me and says, go home and monitor your weight for 2 more weeks.
Quick interruption. Beast Mode Soap sent me this soap, 100% beef tallow, free to try. This is certified grass-fed tallow, never vegan, made in the USA, natural essential oils. We got forest ash, paleo pine. We're in the pine forest. The forest ash is my favorite. I've been using it for a while now. They sent this to me for free, but I liked it so much I agreed to do a paid partnership with them because I believe people need to know what they're putting on their body. And the soap that I had at home is full of chemicals, detergents. Seriously, after I use this soap, my skin feels so soft and so incredible. What you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream. And I only want to put good things in my body and on my body. And this, there couldn't be much better. This is 100% beef tallow.
Learn more at beastmoatsoap.com.
I'm like, what do you think I've been doing for the last 6 months or however long it's been, right? So I go home, that didn't last. I wind up back in the hospital. So by the time I get there, I'm at 307. So I gained 57 pounds of fluid in a short period of time. So the first visit, I passed about 55 pounds of fluid in a week, in 7 days. They were giving me albumin and Bumax through an IV drip. And every 12 hours, you know, so you know what I was doing for 7 days, you know, 24 hours a day. Right. So I come home after that 55 pounds and that still wasn't enough. I was still uncomfortable, couldn't eat, miserable, couldn't breathe that good. So I went back and they did the same routine again. And I wound up getting 77 pounds of fluid removed in 2 different hospital visits. Wow. So I went from 307 to 230. I'm like, you know, that's a little, that's crazy that they let me blow up to that big before they would even do anything. You know, nobody believed me. They just blow you off, you know, send you out the door, whatever. So now, you know, I come home from that and I don't like any of the doctors and I'm trying to deal with them the best I can. I run a few of them off, you know, cause they weren't looking out for my best interest and I didn't know what to do, but I knew they wanted me to take cyclosporine, was one of the drugs to suppress my immune system. They kept saying, hey, we need to suppress your immune system. Your body is attacking itself. I'm like, okay. So I took that for like 2 weeks and it put me in the hospital. My GFR went down to 18%. I'm like, wow. You know, here we are, you know, knocking on death's door. And so I stopped that medication and it came back up a little bit, you know. And so right then I knew I wasn't going to take it because it causes cancer and causes all kinds of other issues. And I'm like, why, if I want to be on dialysis, do I want to complicate things and have cancer also, you know, and just be miserable? I said, you know, if I'm going to wind up on dialysis, you know, God's in control of this whole situation. So I'm not going to take these drugs. You know, I might not have the answer, but I don't think what you're giving me is the answer, you know? So this rocked on from 23 to last year. I have a good friend of mine. His name is Mark, and he's an RN, not that he's an expert, you know, but he was the one that was guiding me through keto, ketovore, and carnivore. He's like, what do you have to lose at this point? I said, nothing. I don't have anything to lose. You know, so January of this year, me and my wife both decided to, you know, start keto. And we eased into it initially, you know, because we still ate fruit and we still ate nuts, you know, so we wouldn't have a real, as you would say, the flu, the crash, you know, as your body transitioned from burning carbs to burning fat. So we did that for the first month and then we cut out the fruit and we cut out the nuts and got serious about what we were doing, you know, and we included some veggies that, you know, Dr. Barry had talked about, some cabbage and asparagus and broccoli and a few other things. And we cooked them in bacon grease and butter, you know, and that's what we ate for the next couple of months. And then I watched some videos of some other doctors. Dr. Boz was one. And she was like, hey, you know, you need to do this carnivore to spike up your ketones, you know. And I'm like, hey, well, let's try it, you know. So, and I have a meter, you know, where I can check my blood and I was checking my ketones. And so You know, I was like 0.7, 0.8, somewhere around in there. And then I did this carnivore thing for 3 days, and it really didn't move that much. So I'm like, that's not the results that she's talking about. So I extended it. You know, I was doing okay, so I just kept going with it, right? And so in about 9 or 10 days, I lost 9 pounds doing carnivore. And right then, I'm like, hey, my ketones spiked up to like 1.5 from where they were at. I said, I know I'm doing the right thing now. This is where I need to be. My energy started getting better. Everything started getting better, you know. So along the way, I'm doing blood work also, you know. So the first blood work I had, well, the last blood work I had in December of 2024 showed my GFR at 20%. Everything's looking bad, you know. I'm what, 5% away from dialysis, right? And so then I had the next blood work done in February of this year. That one showed an improvement of 10 points. It went from 20 to 30. Bam, just like that. And I wasn't even in carnivore then. I was still in the beginning of the keto. You know, I hadn't gone over and swapped over at that point, but I had cut out everything that was processed, all potatoes and starch, everything. You know, so even that gave me an improvement right off the bat. But then when I swapped to carnivore, man, it started really moving. So the next month I went, my GFR was 37. I'm like, holy crap, man, I feel great. I feel better compared to where I was at, you know. I go a month later, it was at 45. I'm like, holy, thank you. 45%, I'm coming back to life. And I told my wife, it's like I was buried in the ground. And my finger was sticking up, and somebody finally saw it, and it kicked all the dirt off of me, and I came back. You know, what an amazing turnaround in such a short period of time. And I never told my kidney doctor exactly what I was doing. When I saw him in February, he saw that improvement, you know. There was a little bit of weight loss there, but I had just started. There was only like 8 pounds, so he didn't pick up on it. And he's like, oh, well, God gave you a break today. I said, yeah, I would say so. And what are you doing? He's like, I said, well, I'm just drinking lemonade, you know, spoon feed them, whatever, right? He's the one that has a degree. I'm just a layperson. I don't know anything, right? And so finally, this last visit in April, when I went and saw him, and he looked at my GFR, you know, he looked at my everything, even my white blood cell count, where they said my body was attacking itself. When I was on steroids, it was over 22,000. And when I came off the steroids, it was down to 12.5, but it never would get any lower. You know, well, once I started carnivore, boom, it went to 11, it went to 10, and the last blood work, it was down to 8,500. The lowest I've seen in probably 10 years. So I have all this information, and the doc comes in the room, and he says, I guess you've seen this already. And I'm like, sure, I've seen it already. And then, I said, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know. What are you doing? I said, well, do you see any weight loss there or anything? What do you see? And he's looking at it. They can't even keep those records straight. He had me listed at 370 pounds. He said, looks like to me you've lost over 100 pounds. And I said, no, that's not right. But really, I've lost 45 pounds since January is what I've lost. And so he didn't. That just shows you how they don't really pay attention, you know, to your chart or to your health or nothing. They just want to write something on a piece of paper and send you on out the door. You know? So anyway, he looks at it. I said, well, doc, look, I don't want to make you mad, you know, but I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And so I told him what I was doing. I said, I'm doing exactly the opposite of what you told me to do. You told me to restrict my salt and to restrict my protein and to restrict my meat, restrict my fluid, restrict this, restrict that. And guess what? I'm not restricting anything. I've added salt back in there because my body needs it. I'm eating meat, you know, and eggs, and that's pretty much all I eat. And, you know, the fluid, I drink all of them. You know, and I'm drinking water and sweet tea, and, you know, that's pretty much what I drink. And so all the restrictions you had on me are gone. And some of the medication that you gave me is gone also. The diuretics that I was taking to keep the fluid off, they quit working. You know, they weren't even working anymore. So, I mean, I was in a tough spot, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And thankfully, my friend, you know, kept pushing me, hey, you need to do this. You need to do this. Watch this. You know, this stuff is working. And he himself lost 60 pounds and turned his liver enzymes around doing carnivore. You know, so he's been doing it for a couple of years. So it wasn't like it was just something he was telling me to do. He was doing it himself, you know, so I could see the results from him. And so the doctor looks at everything and he's like, it's amazing. You know, it's a major improvement, a major turnaround. I said, now what are you going to do with this information that you have? I said, now you have access to all these patients that are sick just like I am. They might not have exactly the same thing, but they're close, you know, chronic kidney disease and all kinds of other issues, nephrotic syndrome, where, you know, he's like, well, yeah, I guess I can tell them about what it's done for you. And I said, well, you know, what about having a little group chat at this clinic right here where you bring in some of your kidney patients and bring in different speakers? And you know what he said? That's not politically correct. I said, oh, exactly. You can't make any money off of it. And it's going to show everybody that carnivore will keep people from coming to your clinic. So, of course, you're not on board with that. Wow. You know, it's crazy that, you know, he has access to all these people and all this information, and he probably won't even share it with anybody, you know, but that's on him. And, you know, he said, you know what? I don't need to see you anymore. He said, I'm releasing you as a patient. And I said, really? He's like, yeah. I said, well, I still want to do blood work, you know, every month and keep up with it or whatever. And he said, well, you know, I really don't need to see you. I said, but what about the blood work? You know, and he's like, okay, yeah, we can keep that going. He said, you know, I'll put the next orders in. And we discussed what that was going to be and agreed on it. And he said, if you want any blood work after that, just call the office. And so he was cooperative. You know, once he found out what I was doing and he saw the transformation in me, you know, where this man told me and told my wife that when I didn't know where I was at or I couldn't breathe, then they would do something. That was what he told me last year, you know. And the thing that all I had to do was change what I put in this mouth, you know, and use the brain that God gave me and use the body that he made to try to heal myself. And look at what it's doing. You know, it might not come back to 100%. We don't know. But the fact that it come to almost half in that quick period of time is an amazing turnaround, you know. And I'm not convinced that it's not going to keep going up. But, you know, I think that, you know, I got to lose some more weight and for those numbers to change a little bit more, you know, because I still, you know, the outlook I had before was, as well, my life is going to be sitting in a dialysis chair. You know, that's what kind of life is that? That's not living. You know, so I've been given a gift, a break. And I got to share it with people, whether they listen or not. Because a lot of people, they'll think you crazy. Even when they see the transformation, you know, and I can show them the blood work. I can show them the numbers. You know, I have proof. It's not like I'm just talking out of both sides of my mouth, you know. I have the evidence to back it up. So, but yeah, it's amazing at the excuses that you hear. Yeah. You know, as I share with other people that are just overweight and sick and diabetic and all this nonsense they're going through. And I'm like, look, you know, all you have to do is change what you're eating and, you know, your life will change. Right. You know, but they can't do it. They can't. They don't have a strong enough reason to stick with it. And,
Scott, I share your passion and frustration seeing people that are sick and they don't have a strong enough reason or conviction, because the sad thing is a lot of them don't realize they're probably going to die decades before their time. They're going to be suffering. They're going to have health issues, end up with diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, all of those things. I believe they're all just from the foods we're eating. You just got to do it long enough. And it's kind of like smoking. You smoke one cigarette, you're not going to die right away. So people are like, oh, it's fine, I could just smoke, sort of thing. But they don't think about the long-term part of it. It's your story is incredible. You got me tearing up there. I feel like carnivore has given me a second chance at life. It sounds to me from your description like you were dying, right? You were gaining so much weight. I mean, you were on the brink there. Do you feel like this gave you a second chance at life?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. You know, it gave me a pardon off of death row. you know, because that's, I wasn't convinced that I was going to do a dialysis, you know? So, I mean, I had to toss back and forth in my head. Is this it? You know, do I want to be hooked up to a machine to live? You know, what kind of life is that? And for 2 years, I've had that going through my head. And then just about come to the conclusion that I didn't want to live that way. You know, so, and I feel for every kidney and every patient, for everybody, not just the kidney patients, but everybody that's sick, you know, with diabetes and whatever they have, you know, that they hit their brainwashed into the standard American diet. And sugar is the number one killer, you know, and it's weird because I've been watching some other videos and stuff about diabetes, even though I never had an issue with that, you know. It's crazy, but one thing that led to my kidney failure was NSAIDs. I've had 3 back surgeries, and the first one was in 2004. And of course, I took NSAIDs and opiates for a long time, but the NSAIDs is what zapped my kidneys because, excuse me, I stopped all the other stuff, right, and was, but I'm still in pain, you know, so I was still having to use something. So I just went to Advil, you know, and meloxicam, not to throw a bunch of names out there, but that's the stuff that the doctors were giving me. And nobody ever said, hey, you know, you need to be careful with this, long-term use could damage your kidneys, blah, 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 blah. They never said that. So when all this started back in 2023, I was taking Advil, right? And so I started getting massive headaches and all this stuff. So, you know, after all the tests that they did, you know, there's all kinds of different reasons that could cause what I have. And some of the, you know, there's no known cause. It could be just hereditary or whatever. But because I have that history of over 20 years of taking NSAIDs, that's what they linked to my kidney problems, you know, taking that.
It's crazy because your kidney problems were perpetuated from medication. You went to the doctor to get help because you're dying. And the only solution is let's figure out what more medication we can give you. Did any of them ever talk to you about nutrition or changing your diet?
No, not one. Not one. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting because one of the docs that I was seeing was supposed to be some, you know, highfalutin doctor or whatever, right? But just because you're getting paid a lot of money doesn't mean you know what you're doing, you know? And so I hadn't seen this guy in a year and a half. And so I sent him a message through the portal maybe a month or so ago. And I said, the title of my message was ketones. Well, I'm going to see what he knows, right? And then I said, hey, doc, I haven't seen you in a while. You know, I think I need to get some blood work done and let's talk about how things are going. And I said, what do you recommend nutritionally for somebody that's in my situation to help improve the GFR? He says, well, generally, low sodium and low protein. That was all he said. And then he said, but by the way, I haven't seen you in a year and a half. I ordered some labs for you, and we scheduled an appointment for August. And let me know if that works, you know. I told my wife, I said, this ought to be interesting, you know, because I want to go and do that blood work so those people can see how things have improved. And I want to go to that appointment and go in there and walk in there and tell him point blank, hey, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not taking this. I'm not taking that. I've lost this much weight. Look at my GFR now. You know, and I asked, but these, you don't know how these people are going to take it. I mean, they've been to school for however many years and they spent all this money to get a doctor's degree, but they're not learning anything except how to write a prescription and give you a pill, you know?
I'm with you. I completely reversed my congestive heart failure on carnivore. And when I say that, people are like, there's no way, that's crazy. Just like you, it's all in my medical records and I've shared it publicly. It blows my mind too. I went back and told my doctor, just like you did. I heard Dr. Barry say this and I love this advice. He said, listen, if your doctor isn't receptive or you're scared to talk to your doctor or whatever, just tell them. Tell them you're doing carnivore because once they start hearing it enough, they're not going to be able to ignore it. Hopefully they'll hear it enough times that they'll be able to change. But my doctor was just, I told my doctor, I'm like, I'm down 100 pounds since my heaviest. I'm no longer clinically and suicidally depressed. I'm off 15 different medications. I'm off all my statins. I don't snore anymore. My lifelong irregular heartbeat that I had since birth has reversed. and my congestive heart failure is completely reversed. And I did all that by eating carnivore. And he just said, interesting, interesting. And that was it. He didn't care. And it, just like you, it sounds very similar. I was just pissed off because I'm like, I don't care about myself. I found healing, although I'm really mad. Nothing I can do about the past, but you go to these doctors for healing. That's what they dedicate their lives to. And at the very least, they have an oath to do no harm. How is it doing no harm if they're giving me medication that is making the problem worse, perpetuating the problem, giving me more and more side effects, which sounds like is what happened to you as well. But yeah, he didn't care. He just said, interesting, interesting. But it makes me mad on behalf of the other Carries and Scotts that are going to go see my doctor. The next guy that goes in there with horrible depression or kidney disease. And the doctor's just going to pull out the prescription pad again and write it down. But hopefully if we keep telling them like you are, and like you told your doctor, hopefully eventually they'll start listening or change their ways. Because why would you even want to be a doctor anymore at that point? Most of these doctors went in there with a big heart and a good reason. They wanted to help people heal. And then they're just doing the opposite. And it's just prescription after prescription. I recently went back in for some additional tests. There was nothing wrong with me. And the first thing they asked me was, what's your pharmacy? And it took me a second. I'm like, I don't do that anymore. I'm almost 2 years on carnivore now, and I'm off all my medications. But it really hit me because I'm like, this is what you're here for. They just, what pharmacy are you at? What medication are we going to get you on? Where's the prescription pad? That is the only reason you're here, is to get some sort of medication. That's all they're putting you in for. And I did that for 15 years, and none of that medication ever helped me or healed the issues. I just kept taking the medication.
Yeah, one of the things that gets me at this clinic I'm going to is every time you go in, they hand you a piece of paper. And I'm looking at this piece of paper. They want me to fill it out. Do you feel like harming yourself? Do you feel like harming others? Do you feel like this? I'm like, I just ball it up and throw it in the trash can, you know? So now when I go in, the lady where I check in, she doesn't even ask me anymore, you know? And so when I go back to the room and the nurse comes in, they thought they were going to be smart and start asking me those questions, even though I didn't fill it out on paper, right? So this last time, the girl comes in and she says, well, do you feel like harming yourself? I said, I don't answer stupid questions like that. And she just looked at me kind of funny. I said, well, let me explain something to you. I said, why doesn't this clinic spend this time that you're trying to ask me if I feel like killing myself on doing something to help heal myself? Yeah. I said, you're spending all this time for nothing. And what's going to happen if somebody actually come in here and said, yeah, I feel like killing everybody out here. You know, right. What are they going to do? I said, you need to focus on what my issues are. And those aren't my issues. I'm here to see a kidney doctor, not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And she looked at me and said, well, you got a point. I said, do you think? Right. I said, stop asking me these stupid questions. You know, I said, I've been on death's door for 2 years and you've done nothing but harass me with ridiculous questions that aren't going to help me in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah. Imagine if they had a form when you went in there that said, tell me what you're eating. How about that? Because when you take your dog into the vet, you take an animal to get, that's the first thing they ask them, what are they eating? And you go to, I've been going to the doctors for 20 years now and they never ask you that. And it's pretty crazy, right, Scott? In retrospect, nearly every single health issue we're going to the doctor is related to our nutrition and not a mention of it whatsoever.
Yeah, another good thing that came from the carnivore and keto was I had, after I stopped taking the Advil, then I started maybe 3 months down the road, started having pain in the right shoulder. I'm like, okay, what's that? That's new, right? So I go have a picture made. And the doc comes in and says, oh, you got bone-on-bone arthritis. I said, oh, great. Let's add that to the list, you know. And he says, well, you don't need a shoulder replacement. I said, well, that's good because we're not going to do that anyway, you know. And so I'm like, I've rocked on for, what, almost 2 years not even being able to use this arm. But look now, you know, we're going down the road one day. We get in the truck to go somewhere. And I knew that morning that things had changed. And it still hurts, don't get me wrong. But I can use it. Where before it was just like I was walking around like this, you know, I had to use this arm to pick it up pretty much. That's how bad it was. So my wife's like, what are you doing? They're going to pull us over. I said, I don't care. Pull me over. You know, I'll show them what it's done. So that is the inflammation that's going out of my body has made it where I can use my shoulder. Does it still hurt? Yeah, it still hurts, but I can use it. So that's a major improvement, you know. And I'm wearing like reader glasses now, but you know, my eyesight after that with my shoulder after a few months, then my eyesight cleared up. I wasn't wearing prescription glasses, but I needed readers, you know. And I could tell, you know, that things are off in the distance are getting clear. I'm like, man, what else is going to happen, you know?
Right.
I'm just waiting to see, God, what have you got next? What's around the corner? How far is this going to go? How many people can I help? You know, how do I get these people to listen? Where is an outlet for me to get this message out? And that's when my friend Mark said, hey, you know, you need to send an email to Dave. And so I sent an email to Dave, and it wasn't 12 hours later, you know, he responded back and said, hey, I want you on, you know. And then obviously he sent you a message because you don't have time to watch all these videos of everybody that you're recording, you know.
I don't have time, but you'd be surprised. I do watch a lot of them. And I got to shout out our friend Dave Mack because that guy is incredible. He's interviewed, I think he's up to 1,100 now, over 1,000 carnivores. We actually, we interviewed Dave for the documentary we're working on, Healing Humanity. And the cool thing with Dave, I'll just got to shout him out real quick. He's got an incredible story of his own. We always hear Dave interviewing other carnivores, but his own personal story, really, really remarkable. And yeah, I'm so happy that we filmed him for our documentary because I'm worried when we do this documentary, people are going to say, well, we filmed 60 interviews so far for our documentary all over the world. Even with that, Scott, people will say, that's just 60 anecdotes. We don't care. Like, no matter what, they're always going to refute things. But so we have Dave in there too. Well, this guy's also interviewed 1,100 other carnivores that are all just anecdotes and just person after person after person finding healing over and over and over again. The numbers are so much higher than that too. When you look at Dr. Sean Baker's interviewed hundreds, maybe over 1,000 carnivores too. And it's really spreading. But yeah, Dave is incredible.
Yeah, and even, you know, I see some friends of mine, like her, one of them's her grandson, they claim he has autism. I knew him from maybe 4 or 5 years old, but I had seen him in probably, I don't know, 15 years or so. And so he's in his 20s now, and so I met him again, and he doesn't look autistic to me. You know, and I'm no expert, right? I mean, this is just based on my personal experience of seeing people, children that are severe autistic, you know. And then, so I'm getting to talking to his grandmother, right? Because we're pretty close, you know. I'm like, hey, how much of what he's doing is learned behavior? And she admitted, she said, well, yeah, a lot of it is learned behavior. I said, so give me an example of that learned behavior, you know. So he went into the house to get a cup of coffee and he didn't do the machine right and overflowed and blah, 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 and made a mess. But he didn't tell anybody. So when the next person goes in and gets coffee, you know, they see this mess and she has to clean it up. And so she knew it was him. And so I said, okay, well, how is autism playing a role in that? You know, other than being lazy and not wanting to clean up. And she said, well, when he's confronted with something, he gets angry. I said, he gets angry. She said, yeah, he gets. I said, so that's his defense mechanism against people. And then, you know, it's his anger because he doesn't want to have to deal with it. I said, so, and she agreed that, you know, again, that this was some learned behavior. So I just sent her, she's watched the video with Dave and she'll probably watch this one too. You know, and I sent her a link to another hour and a half thing I watched this morning about everybody. And I told her, I said, you need to watch this because this could change your grandson's life. You know, and change him in a way because he's overweight and you could tell, I mean, he's running off of carbs and we know how that affects the mind and we know how all of this stuff now, even though it's not scientifically proven, we can see that. And I just, you know, you just want to get that message across to these people and you don't want to see these people suffering anymore because, you know, there's help. And it's not to say that what we're doing is going to help everybody in every situation. You know, but how do you know unless you try? How do you know unless you try? Now, as far as my back, you know, there's rods and screws and everything back there holding me together. And, you know, what happened when I was 39 years old was the disc between the vertebrae dried up and collapsed. And it was rubbing bone on bone between S1 and L5. So, you know, I didn't know anything about, I was 39 years old. I didn't know anything about keto, carnivore, none of that. And even if I did, it's not going to replace the disc, you know, which is the cushion between your vertebrae. I mean, it's going to do amazing things, but I don't know if it's going to do that. You know, so I'm sure I'll have, you know, pain and stuff back there the rest of my life because of what's installed in my back. But it makes me kick myself in the ass, you know, because I let them cut me to start with.
Yeah.
You know, without doing any more research, you know, to find a different way or to find out exactly what was wrong. You know, even though they told me, I just put all my faith in the doctors. You know, they're supposed to be the smart ones, right? And the first guy that cut me didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have a clue. And for 13 and a half years, they filled me full of pills and said it was all in my head. I had to move, Carrie, 2,700 miles away, give up my family, everything, to move where I'm at, to get some different doctors to tell me what was wrong. I went to everywhere on the East Coast I could go to that was supposed to be the best that I could get to, right? And once the first doctor cut me, nobody else would even tell me what was wrong because they're all together, right? So they're not going to throw another one under the bus. And I had an opportunity to come to the West Coast. And I took that opportunity. That door opened and I went through it. That was the best thing I ever did. So I got out here. The surgeon did an MRI and he says, man, your back is a mess. There's nothing I can do for you. And he sent me to another surgeon, UCSF in San Francisco. And that doc comes in and says, well, are you ready for me to cut you? And I'm like, well, it depends, you know. He says, well, you know, I'm going to have to cut you open from the front and cut your spine in two and cut out what they've done wrong and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, that sounds pretty invasive there, doc. But, you know, hey, at that point, I would have let him do whatever because they actually pinpointed what my problem was. And that first guy here did the MRI. He said, look, these white lines are coming out of your vertebrae. That's the good nerves that are coming out. He said, look over here. He said, the left leg is that was what was burning. So it's the right side nerves that are affecting that left side, right? He said, look over here at L4 and L5. Yeah, there's nothing but black. He said, there's no white line anywhere. He said, where's that nerve at? He said, it's trapped in there, and that's why your leg is burning. And has been 13 and a half years. I'm like, hallelujah. Answer my prayer. You know, they just proved that they were all a bunch of idiots, you know. So they did 8 hours worth of surgery, and, you know, I came to from that. And, yeah, I had drugs and stuff all going in me. But when I came to, that burning in my leg was gone, was gone. And they drove titanium cages in from the front to open up the disc base. And then Romeo and a robot came over and split me from the back and then put – so I'm fused now at 4-5 and S1. You know, so I still have pain, but now I don't have that burning in my leg. You know, there is another miracle right there. That was even before all this happened, you know. And, but man, it's been amazing, you know, what carnivore has done. And yeah. I just wish I had known more about it before. And
I'm with you on that one. It's like all of the, if you really start to go back and think all of the things that could have potentially been avoided, maybe that surgery in the first place, but you can't go back in time. The good thing is all of that horrible surgery you have now, the fact that you're doing carnivore and you have literally the least inflammation you could in your body because of the foods you're eating. Think of how much better you're doing now than what you could be, even though you had that back surgery and all that healing. Like you could be in a lot more pain, a lot more arthritis, a lot more sort of inflammation in those joints that you're not having now. I find that I try to like write stuff down because I'm like over time on carnivore, I think there's things we end up taking for granted because you just end up feeling so good on all fronts that it becomes the new normal sort of thing. But
and people don't even understand. They look at me and they say, so you don't eat any carbs? Well, how does your brain function? You know, your brain's got to have carbs. I said, no, it doesn't. Your body is smarter than you are. Okay. your body can figure out how to convert all of this stuff. You know, I try to explain to them a little bit, you know, but it just goes, you know, over their head, and they keep popping insulin, and they got Crohn's disease, you know, and they're this, and they're on Ozempic. And that was one of the things the doctor, my kidney doctor, when he finally saw the weight loss, he said, "What drug are you on, Ozempic?" I just busted out laughing. You know, so again, that goes to your point about, you know, they just want to give you a drug. So I'm like, why would I take Ozempic when I just have to control my pie hole, right? You know, and use my head, you know. And I like steak, you know. It's pretty doggone good.
Yeah, there could be a lot worse diets out there than just eating steak all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I eat pork, you know, and I eat fish. I like fish. And, you know, I vary it up. And one thing I noticed that I need to do is I need to add some liver in there. You know, I was a big chicken liver fan. So, but of course that was fried and that's not good. So now I need to incorporate that back in to get the nutrients from that. And my vitamin D was the only thing that he busted me on. It's still low. And he wrote a prescription for some vitamin D. You know, I'm like, all I need to do is just eat more eggs and probably get out in the sun a little bit more. But because of all these stupid medications you gave me, it said stay out of the sun. You know, so you wonder why it's low, right?
Just got to keep doing the opposite of what they told you, right?
Exactly. Dude. You know,
isn't it crazy though, Scott? Like, it is really, when you take a step back, it's like, what would have happened if you did the opposite of everything you were told up until this point? You'd have been so much better off. Here, take this medication. Nope, I'm not going to take this medication. Here, do this. Here, do that. It's the food pyramid's upside down. It's really kind of eye-opening once you start eating this way and you start healing and you get rid of that brain fog, how much of an inverted reality we live in where everything's just backwards. Like you were just saying, people that are sick with diabetes and they're overweight and they have heart issues, they'll say to you, "You got to have your vegetables. What are you doing? You can't eat that way." And meanwhile, you're healthier now than you've ever been. It's just so backwards. It's crazy.
I even heard, you know, I've heard all kinds of excuses like, "Well, what's going to happen with all this excess skin I have?" So you'd rather be getting insulin and pumping that in there and looking like this, but you're worried about excess skin and being healthy inside? I mean, the mentality just is not there, you know. We just see it over and over and over and over and over, and it's like you want to grab them and, you know, and shake them back into reality. They've watched too much TV. They've been brainwashed, and they can't think for themselves.
The too much skin thing, I have heard several times now. I get so many comments on my YouTube channel, but that one blew my mind too, where someone was considering doing this, severely over obese, but they're worried about the skin. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's like the last thing. I told people this before. I'm down 100 pounds since my heaviest. I would take that 100 pounds back in a second. I don't snore anymore. I'm not depressed. I'm off all medications. I don't have brain fog anymore. I'm thankful, grateful, blessed, full of joy. It's like the skin, like give me the skin. Like I get it for some people. It's an issue. It can be a mobility issue if you have enough of it. But to have that be your primary concern going into this, I think that's a big misconception with carnivore too, is a lot of people, when I talk to them about carnivore, oh, that's a diet, right? That's to lose weight. You lose weight, but you literally heal everything in your body. Your body goes back to its natural state. This isn't a Weight Watchers or counting calories to try to lose some vanity pounds.
I try to get them to look at it as a lifestyle change. You know, I'm even working with a friend of mine now back on the East Coast, is a friend of his that is going to be diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver, probably already is. Mm-hmm. And he's been able to quit drinking at this point, but he's gaining fluid, right? And he's miserable. He doesn't know what to do. So I've been sharing these videos with my friend to share with him. And I'm like, hey, you know, this guy's only in his 40s. I'm like, hey, if you do this, you know, what do you have to lose? Because you're dying now, just like I was with the kidneys, right? So, you know, he's going to be on liver transplant. Why not do this now?
Scott, we've got, I'm not trying to promote this. I always encourage people, get a community, get into a community, because you're a weird one out. But we have our Healing Humanity membership site. And if your friend wants to join, I'll get him in there for free. If you want to join, I'll get you in there for free. But we have Coach Lisa in there, and she specializes in the liver. That's all she talks about. And like every single case, okay, I can't say every, but you will heal your liver on a carnivore diet. What a lot of people, when they stop drinking, one of the problems they have is, and this is rampant, I had a doctor on my channel, Dr. Nelson, family medicine doctor for 40 years. He's seen hundreds of thousands of patients. I said, Dr. Nelson, what is something that is just getting really bad, a trend that we don't know about? And he's like, well, you guys know about type 2 diabetes, you know about this, but he's like, fatty liver is just rampant and it's taking out so many people right now. And it's not just because people are drinking alcohol. Someone will quit alcohol like your friend. A big reason is fruit. And people wouldn't think about this, but fruit fructose goes right to the liver. And throughout mankind, we've never eaten fruit out of season multiple times a day over and over and over again. The fruit we have now is just so sweet. And people are addicted to it. And they try to do well because they're misled from vegan, vegetarian. Like, you got to have your fruit. It's so good for you. And you end up consuming so much of it. It literally wrecks the liver. You end up getting fatty liver. Someone that doesn't drink any alcohol at all that gets fatty liver, it looks just like someone that had alcoholic fatty liver.
You know who you just described? My wife. And you know what? And she doesn't drink. She doesn't do anything. And she had fatty liver. But you know how quick it turned around when she did keto? It didn't take 2.5 months. And her liver enzymes came back to almost what they say is perfect. You know, within 2 months, you described her to a T right there. And so she's in and out of carnivore, keto. She's really restricted her carbs a lot now. She's lost 27 pounds herself. And, you know, it's amazing watching her. You know, because I told her, you know, I want to live the best life that we can live. And we got to do this to do it.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way we need to eat. And we don't need to let all this peer pressure from your friends that are cramming all this cake and donuts and crap down there. I've had to separate myself from those people because I don't want to sit there and watch it. You know, it's like I don't drink, so I don't want to be around a drunk.
Yeah.
You know, I don't eat all that sugar. I don't want to be around all those people that are eating all that sugar because it just makes me sick, you know. But anyway, that's just
– I'm with you, Scott, man. We're brothers, and everything you're saying, everything you've done, man, it's so similar. It's amazing that your wife has found healing. The liver, having a healthy liver is so critical and underlooked by so many people. The fact that she's healed her liver is absolutely incredible. I feel the same way. My wife and girls and I, before going on carnivore, we went on a cruise. My wife and I got married on a cruise. That was our big thing. It's like a big treat. It's a huge blessing. Long story short, after going on carnivore, we went on a cruise again, and I felt like what you just described. I was on that cruise, and I'm like, I feel like I've recovered from a lifelong addiction to alcohol, and now I'm on this ship with a whole bunch of alcoholics that are just binging, because that's all everyone was eating, sugar, sugar, sugar. That was it. That's all. What's next? What's next? Where's the next meal? Where's the next dessert? And I'm like, I feel like the odd one out. I keep telling people this on my channel, but you are the sum result of the 5 people you spend the most time with. And when you're a carnivore, it's really hard to spend time with other carnivores unless you're in some sort of community. And it doesn't have to be a paid membership site. When I first started, I was just doing YouTube. Dave Mack, Frigno Freedom, in the comments, chatting with these people, but surrounding myself with other people that have succeeded. Because you're absolutely right. You got to almost separate yourself from family and friends. It's so hard because a lot of them mean well, too, and they just don't get it. They'll still come up to you. Here, Scott, have a cupcake. You can have one. Just have one. Why not?
Yeah,
that almost killed you. And they don't look at it like an addiction, but I look at it like it's worse than an addiction to a hard drug. I quit a hard drug that I was addicted to for 42 years. I have one little bit of that drug again and I'm off the rails and it could take my life. It's that serious. Yep.
My friend, the friend that I was telling you about, her grandson had autism, right? When we went and visited her, she's like, well, what sweets do you want? What snacks do you want? What? I don't want any of that. Yeah. And so when we finally get there, you know, she's done made all this stuff. I'm like, I told you I couldn't eat any of that. She's like, you know what? You're the only one that I know that sticks to your diet. Hmm. I said, well, what's the point? I mean, you know, I was dying. So why would I go back? Just like what you said, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, when you start doing this, you kind of see the world differently. It sounds like you're seeing it a little bit differently. Do you feel different? Like if you go to the grocery store and you see people with their carts overflowing,
it bothers me.
Yeah,
it bothers me. You know, I guess it shouldn't, but yeah, it bothers me, you know, because I try, even if when I go to the butcher and I get steak and I'm buying all this meat and stuff, you know, I'm talking to the butcher. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm doing this and I'm sharing with these people. And when I went to the grocery store the other day, I had about $385 worth of meat. And the lady's like, you must like to cook. I said, no, I like to live. And then she's like, well, what are you planning on doing with all this meat? I said, eat. That's what I plan on doing with it. You know, I guess they're not used to seeing people, you know, because there wasn't any veggies. There wasn't any fruit. There wasn't any of that. It was all just meat, you know. And I guess they're not used to seeing that. But, you know, hey, whatever we can do to get the word out. And people are skeptical, you know. They don't, even though they can see your history, your medical records of everything you've done, they can see mine, everything I've done. Even that is still not enough for some people. You know?
Sadly, some of them have to wait till they hit rock bottom. And just hopefully it's not too late for them then, because sometimes rock bottom is stage 4 cancer or losing your colon and having a colostomy bag for the rest of your life, those things. So
there's one other person that briefly, that they had to take one of his kidneys out because of cancer. Mm. He's got prostate cancer now. He's type 2 diabetic. And I've been talking to him about what we're doing, you know, and he's been seeing what it's doing to me and my wife. And it's gotten to him a little bit, and he's changed a little bit. And I've warned him about the keto acidosis. I said, hey, you can't go into this full bore, you know, carnivore keto. You can't, because it could cause keto acidosis. And I don't want you to get in a situation where they're just going to stick you in the hospital and give you back a bunch of fluids and put you back on the standard American diet. But what you can do is reduce your carbs enough where you can reduce how much insulin you're using. Right. You know, you could probably affect that. So he's like started taking the bun off of his hamburger, you know, and getting mushrooms instead of French fries. And he's changing a little bit, you know, so it's affecting him a little bit, you know, but I don't know, you know, a little bit now is better than nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Baby steps. And then they start learning. I always tell people too, especially with your children, it's hard with kids, right? It can be really hard. But one thing you can do is get your children off the breakfast cereal. Give them eggs and bacon for breakfast. There's one little baby step that can have a huge, huge impact on their whole day. So you can start out with those baby steps for sure. But
yep.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you, Scott, that you found healing. And I don't think there's anything better that you could be doing yourself than getting on with Dave Mack and getting on with me here and sharing your story, because that's what's going to change people. It might not change everyone that you tell personally, but there's other people out there that are going to watch this. They're going to say, man, I got kidney disease, or I had the same thing that Scott had. And your story will resonate with them, where they're going to hear it. They're going to see themselves in you, and they're going to want to do something about it. I've seen it over and over again on Dave's channel. You go read through some of the comments on Dave's channel, and people are literally, it's saving people's lives, because they're seeing someone that they can resonate with that has found healing. I believe that's one of the most powerful. The science is great. The science of keto and carnivore, there's a lot of good documentaries to talk about the science, but I think what really is going to change people is the stories and the individual stories. So I'm really happy that you're sharing your story and you came out here. So you're not doing any YouTube or anything like that yet, but how can people find you if they want to learn more?
I have an email address, rcetrucsever59@gmail.com. If anybody has any questions, you know, or if I can help anybody, they can reach out there. You know?
I love it. I'll put a link. I'll put that in the description below with a link to your video you did with Dave as well. Is there anything else you want to mention or shout out before we wrap up?
No, other than thanks to my very good friend, Mark, who guided me through this. Mm. And showed me the light. Thanks to him.
The world and needs more Marks.
Yeah, definitely.
God bless him, man. That's crazy. Yeah, I always got to go negative. I don't want to go negative, but imagine Mark never told you this. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Where would we be right now?
I'm probably hooked up to a machine right now. Yep. Or either be dead, one or the other. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, sir.